It's time for the most insightful wrestling show today.
Our backs are to the walls, ladies and gentlemen, and we've run out of places to hide.
Wrestling Weekly is on the air.
Glory, glory, hallelujah.
We've got a great show for you. Right, it's great.
Hi, gang, this is Bean Gene Okerlund.
Hey, this is Kevin Nash. You're listening to Doc Young.
I've never heard of a bigger baby in my life
than the legendary Les Thatcher.
I'm now Les Thatcher.
You're listening to Wrestling Weekly.
Thank you.
Please join us in the chat room at WrestlingWeekly.com to submit questions for tonight's guests.
That's pretty damn cool.
That is cool.
And now, your host for Wrestling Weekly, Doc Young and legendary Les Thatcher.
Everybody, Doc Young and Les Thatcher with you. It's Wrestling Weekly. Today, guys, is the November 6th show. We've got Brian Alvarez joining us for Hot Topic tonight. Of course, he is with Figure4Online.com. And our featured guest tonight is Sean Stasiak.
It's also Election Day in the United States.
It's Election Day, it is?
Well,
really?
For those of us who are in the United States, those people in Indiana, it's probably not. I don't know.
For those of you guys who vote, and I got to tell you what, Les, this week it's a little hard on me because I'm getting used to now being on Eastern time again.
Whatever, Doc.
Our county cannot make up its mind.
Which means that it's hard to remember that it's not the 5th, it's the 6th, and it's Election Day.
Stuff like that, yeah. It just snowballs, you know? You get confused about one thing, and it just starts this whole vicious cycle.
Thank God that when you finally go into Alzheimer's, I'll be around to put your left foot in front of your right.
And a lot of people
and
think...
by that time, I'll probably be 105.
A lot of people just think I have trouble concentrating, which is not true at all. Look, a kitty.
No, he doesn't have trouble concentrating. He just never concentrates. There's no trouble at all.
We got a lot of news to get to tonight, but first off, we have to start with a sad story, Les.
Yeah, fabulous. Well, Lloyd Ellison passed away, Friday, this past weekend, I guess, 84. Lloyd and I have been friends. I kind of seems like forever, but probably since the late 60s. She was, a lot of different things to a lot of different people. She was a very hard-nosed business person. On one hand, she was like a mother to some of the girl wrestlers. She, the word icon and legend gets kicked around in this our business very easily. She was obviously both, she was, having worked in several wrestling offices over the years. I saw, the business side, conducting business with her, booking girls, and also knew her as a friend. She had that raspy Southern voice, and I hear her saying, "Hey, darling, how you doing?" And I'd get a hug, and I was just thinking, I've got an 8x10 from one of the clubs in Vegas. We were a bunch of us were together. She was part of the group in 78 at the NWA convention, and I remember she stayed at Circus. And I remember her telling us that her room had a jungle motif, and I thought, how appropriate for Lillian, that would be the type of room that she would, the fabulous Moolah would have. I also thought several times this week about the story she told here on this show about Katie Diamond Lil coming to her. And to want to wrestle, and the first thing she told Katie, give her that cigarettes in your mouth, never smoke another one. And Katie stayed with her all those years. So, I mean, she was, she was a lot of different things to a lot of different people. But she certainly, as I said to you before we went on the air, she was mentioned on SportsCenter on ESPN. I watch, pardon the interruption, with Michael Wilbond and Tony Kornheiser every night. It's a cab, you know, about sports across the board. And they, you know, mentioned her, and I said to my wife tonight, I said, you know, Lillian would really be happy to think that, you know, outside the wrestling community, that she was, both these guys had mentioned seeing her wrestle at different times, you know, mm-hmm. and to realize how many years that, you know, she was part of the wrestling community.
Yeah.
It's you know, so, yeah, so Lillian is, and I got to see her, well, these last few years has been Vegas at Cauliflower Alley Club or in Mobile at the Gulf Coast Wrestlers Convention, but you know, she was quite the lady. She I think what a lot of people, it was, you know, wasn't always, she was very much wanted to people, meaning when I say people, the general public obviously, but the wrestlers and the promoters themselves, to respect women wrestlers and the women in the business and what they contributed, mm-hmm. and her as a business person. And I know I can remember over the years having some girls, if they thought they had had a bad match or something, just hadn't gone exactly the way it should, and think, oh my God, I hope nobody tells Lillian or nobody tells Moolah. And that was, you know, she was a taskmaster or task mistress, I guess would be the proper term.
Yes.
I mean, you know, I said today I was on a radio sports talk radio station in Toronto and talking about it. And I said, you know, a lot of the girls that are in the business today wouldn't be in the business if they'd had to gone through Lillian. I mean, they wouldn't. I mean,
that's,
I'm sorry. You know.
That's hard to argue.
She, to say it plainly, she'd kick ass and take names. I mean, that's just the way she was. And that wasn't because, well, you know, a lot of us from that generation are perceived as jackasses or whatever, and I could care less, because we have a lot of respect. It was pounded into us, and we expect other people to have the same, you know.
Right.
And I don't see a problem with that. So, yeah, Lillian was, she was certainly a, an icon and a legend, and she'll be missed. And, you know, my God, she left a hell of a trail on her way out. And then my guess would be she's probably at this moment organizing women wrestling in heaven. So.
Yeah. Would you venture to say Fabulous Moolah, most well-known, I guess, female wrestler in history?
Yeah, I would think. Well, you know, yeah, unless, well, especially in this day and age, because there is no history. I mean, there is. Have you ever heard of Mildred Burke? No. June Byers? No. LaShona LeClaire? No. You know, and those are all names that came, you know, well, we've got to realize Lillian started as Slave Girl, Moolah,
mm-hmm.
You know, for Tony Leavitt, the Elephant Boy. And then she worked for Buddy Rod. She, you know, for several wrestlers like that. But she was that before, you know, before she actually... you know, made her mark as a wrestler. Mildred Burke was probably the first highly recognized female champion, and she was a tough lady too.
Mm-hmm.
She was a lot older than Lillian. Mildred's been dead for a number of years.
Right.
But a lot of the women, I was saying to my wife today, I said, you know, I had learned to respect lady wrestlers when I broke in Boston because of two ladies there, one Alva Mills, and the other Mary Jane Mall, who were both sweethearts, but they also were badasses. I mean, they were,
yeah.
You know, and they had, you know, listen, to say that women in our business weren't taken advantage of would be a lie, because, you know, back in that day and age, they certainly were, you know, to when I say it wasn't like every day or, you know, but I mean, it wasn't uncommon.
Right.
And, you know, so, and Lillian tried to prevent that. She tried to make, you know, she was a very professional lady and expected a lot from her people.
Right.
You know, so, yeah, I think probably in terms of the modern-day wrestling fan, yeah, she would be the most well-known, obviously.
Guys, join us in the chat room at WrestlingWeekly.com. Give us your thoughts throughout the show tonight. Rhode Island Red in the chat room, Les, he asked what your favorite memory of Moolah is.
Well, you know, I just I don't know if there is a favorite one. I say she, you know, we've been friends a lot of years,
right.
And you know, I guess, and once you got to know her, you were her buddy. If you didn't know her, you might be intimidated. I don't mean physically necessarily, but just, you know, by the way she carried herself and the way she presented herself. But I think that that, you know, I mentioned Vegas in 78, but I think that was one of the times that we were away from the, you know, nobody was wrestling. It wasn't a wrestling show. It was a promotion, you know, the meetings of the different National Wrestling Alliance promotions. And I was there. I was one of the representatives for Southeastern Wrestling based in Knoxville. And so, you know, that's I always enjoyed my time around Lou and Lillian.
I was also intimidated. Of course, we had her on the show last year. We did an interview with her, and it was more of like her status, and I didn't want to sound, I guess, stupid in front of her. So I was pretty nervous during that whole interview.
Well, like you say, she would tend to, you know, even at her advanced age, you didn't, I don't know, you know, my mother was 86 when she passed away, and she was my mother, but I looked at her as she was an elderly woman. You know, my grandmother was, but you didn't look at Lillian as an elderly woman, you know. She was, I don't know, you know, and when I say she worked hard to project that and to maintain that, I mean that with all due respect. You know, it wasn't like she was throwing up a false image or anything.
Right.
But I think that's the main thing that to realize, you know, a lot of her hardness was to because she expected people and males and business people to respect women wrestlers. And if you recall, part of our conversations is she there weren't a lot. She really didn't have a lot of respect for the current crop. I mean, she didn't.
Right.
You know, and she wasn't bashful about saying so.
No.
You know, I, you know, today in, on the show in Toronto that I did, you know, I was very impressed. The guy mentioned, he said, I've listened to your talk show, and he said, I read your column and on Insider, and he said, I understand your, I agree with a lot of your stance on the business the way it is, and, you know, what about the girls? And I said, well, you know, I'm not too old to see and understand what an attractive woman looks like, but if she has no talent, then she, you know, she doesn't need to be where she's, you know.
Right.
And I think that was the way Lillian looked at it, too, you know. So, I think that's maybe the strongest remembrance of, you know, what she brought to the table in terms of fighting for equality and respect for the girls.
Right. I heard the story, and the New York Times reported this in her obituary, is that she had shoulder replacement surgery.
Yeah.
Days before she passed.
Yeah, I don't think that this it was anything, you know, other than maybe the stress of it, you know.
Yeah.
Brought to help bring this on, but yeah. Apparently she wasn't feeling well, and they finally took her back to the hospital where she passed away. The plantation, or as Moolah Manor, or whatever you want to call it, the house you'd have to see in Columbia was what they call it, antebellum. It's the colonial style, you know, like you'd see in the old colonial mansions, you know, southern mansions with the columns.
Mm-hmm.
And you'd realize that house was on Moolah Drive.
Cool.
It was. I mean, and there was a small lake out in front. And there were cabins, I guess you'd call them, up behind her house that where a lot of the girls had trained lived and stuff like that. So, it was quite a cool place. I was there, I guess back in the 70s when I was living in Charlotte. But I think the shoulder surgery, I don't think anything to do, actually, like I say, except that maybe the stress of it at her age,
right,
you know, had helped bring on the heart failure or something. I don't really know.
Well, she's definitely going to be missed. It's like,
yes, yeah,
definitely
absolutely
the end of an era. There's more news concerning, more bad news, I guess, concerning another WWE Hall of Famer, Black Jack Mulligan, is recovering from a stroke he recently had.
I did not. Where did you find this out?
This was on the Wrestling Info.
I have no earthly idea. I did not know that. I know that I will try to call him. When did this happen, do you know?
It doesn't really say, but it says recently. It says Mulligan temporarily lost sight in his left eye, not to mention control of the left side of his face. And it pretty much doesn't go any further than that.
And you just saw this today?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, I had no idea. I obviously don't go to each and every... I don't even have these boards. I don't even know there is such a board. But I had no idea.
Yeah. I want to get some more information on that.
He and I email back and forth, occasionally, but I haven't talked to Jack in a while. I love him to death. I mean, he's... one of my favorite people. He really is. I mean, he was, and I'll tell you, a lot of people talk about great interviews. When Kevin was on with us, if you recall, he and I talked about, and Kevin talks about that on his Kayfabe Commentaries Booker thing, too, that Mulligan is such a great interview. I mean, everybody talks about Flair, and I mean, not that Rick's not, but, Flair, Foley, and people like that, but Mulligan was a tremendous promo guy. I didn't have any idea. I certainly will see what I can find out.
Absolutely. We'll post it here at the website. Former WCW WWF star Big Van Vader, of course known as Vader, recently had hip replacement surgery. He wanted to wait until he was fully retired from pro wrestling to have this operation, and word is that he should make a full recovery by early next year. There was also a story out about him this week that he is in the wholesale car dealership business.
You know what? I read that on Wrestling Weekly, and my question was, my thought was, and why is that special?
I think it's just an interesting footnote.
Okay. Well, because I really didn't, I thought, and are we reporting this? Why?
Saying...
this guy is an insurance salesman. Like, whoa, really? He sells insurance.
Well, it's not like, whoa, really, but it's like, wow, okay. That kind of thing.
I guess Leon's got it something, doing something. He's
that's good. That's good for him.
Yeah, I haven't seen Leon in, I don't know how long. It's been a few years. In Vegas, I guess, at CAC, the last time I saw him. It's been a couple years back. But anyway.
When is the next one?
God, you shouldn't have asked. I think it's May or June of next year. It's next year anyway.
Okay.
It's on the website.
Okay.
Cauliflower Alley. Excuse me, CauliflowerAlleyClub.org.
All right. Just a reminder for you guys, tomorrow night, 8 p.m. Eastern, CNN is going to be airing their wrestling documentary called Death Grip, Inside Pro Wrestling. I don't know what to expect from this. I can expect it's not going to be good.
Well, I expect it's going to be factual.
Mm-hmm.
You can say, well, they're sensationalizing the here's the thing. You can say about me what you want, and haven't been around, don't know what I'm talking about. I haven't been in a local dressing room in a while. I'm an old guy who has an axe to grind. Picking a negative comment about somebody who's telling the truth and post it. I don't give a damn.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, these things have gone on in our business. I don't condone them, but they're just to say that they are just part of the fabric of our business or have been up to this point is not to brush them off or condone them, but they are.
Right.
There are certain things in our business, like some of the horrendous politics that I don't necessarily condone, but I realize that to maintain my sanity and to continue to work in the business, I must walk around them or overlook them and a lot of the stuff you don't necessarily want to become a part of.
Right.
and I don't, I don't endorse it. I don't condone it, but I don't judge these people either, because
right.
I think you and I say you, meaning you or anybody else that I would consider in the normal walk of life, can't understand it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I haven't. I'm not part of it, but I do understand it. Which again doesn't mean that it's right or it's wrong. It's just that I understand it.
Right.
Okay. I love Chris Benoit, and I know that's going to be a part of it. And again, I will reiterate very quickly: I no possible way I condone what happened with he and his family. But nonetheless, I think he was, whatever the mental state, it wasn't the right one.
Right.
But if there's anything positive that's going to come out of all this stuff, is that the wrestling community is going to have to buckle down and maybe even concentrate on actually wrestling opposed to looks. God forbid.
Right.
But I mean, and believe, when I say that, that ain't a bad thing.
Mm.
That's a good thing. I'm going to DVR the thing tomorrow night. I'm going to watch it again. It's if I walked in the kitchen and caught you with your hand in the cookie jar, then you had your hand in the cookie jar.
Right.
You know, you can't paint a, maybe, if you were wrong, you were wrong, you know.
Right.
And I can't say that our business hasn't had things that should not have, you know, that have been, people have looked the other way, myself included,
mm-hmm.
you know. But that's, you know, it's happened. And like I say, the only thing I can say is I hope that due to things like this that, you know, our industry becomes more of a watchdog over itself.
Yeah. Needs to be. Moving on, did you see Ghost Hunters Live, on the Halloween edition with Elijah Burke?
No, I don't do Ghost Hunters Live.
It's hilarious stuff. For a big, strong, you know, tough guy.
Oh, I saw some website had a link to the thing that was on YouTube, or your YouTube, my tube, whatever tube it is.
YouTube.
Yeah, where he jumped. But I never did see what scared him. What was it?
He thought something touched him.
Huh?
He thought he felt something touch him on the shoulder.
Oh, okay.
And
well, I wouldn't go into it because it's too long a story, and most of the people are already deceased that were part of it. But I remember pulling a stunt about a ghost on a young wrestler who just broke into business. We were staying in a tourist home in New England. We were wrestling at one of the county fairs,
mm-hmm.
and this guy, they scared the hell out of him. But so, you know, some everybody's got the. I can think of what a tough old timers who, I mean, legitimately was tough and was a heel, and that was the image he portrayed. Now, I mean, in the ring, but he was legitimately tough as well. But someone put a, you know how the locusts have they'll abandon their shell.
Yeah.
On a tree. Okay, someone had put one on his back, and he was where he could see it, and he couldn't reach it. And I remember seeing him jumping around and trying to get that thing off. And it's the funniest thing in the world. you know, I know guys. Again, I know guys that would fight a wildcat that hate seeing spiders and snakes. And
oh yeah.
Run, you know, so it's you
it's
know.
Like that thing in the 80s where, legitimately, there were so many people scared of Jake. The snake. Big,
oh,
tough
yeah.
guys.
Listen, listen. When at one point on TBS, Afa and Sika, when Sonny King managed them, they had a boa or anaconda, whatever the hell it was, I don't know. And I was handling the tours up in Ohio, West Virginia, Michigan at the time, and Barnett, Gordon and Smokey, his wife, were taking a vacation, and they had me fly down to host the show with Piper, and you know, setting up before showtime. I said, "Okay, guys, here's the way we do this. On the set, we have Sonny next to me, then whichever Samoan doesn't have the snake next to him, and the one with the snake at the far end."
Right.
Now, when the one with the snake gets to me, then you'll be holding your own microphone because I won't be there. I don't do snakes. I'm sorry. I know, you Right. Yeah, so I can understand. I know I saw Jake Snake crawling on people, and I thought, oh, my God, they were saying, this is the finish, and I'd say, no, it ain't. No, it is not.
The finish is me walking out.
The finish is I'm not working the match if that's the finish.
Right.
That's the finish.
The whole thing about the Ghost Hunters Live on Halloween is that this show did a 2.1 cable rating on Sci-Fi, which, you know, at first thought, you're like, okay, so, but the thing is, ECW on Sci-Fi the day before drew a 1.6. And this is sort of the difference, and it kind of tells why Sci-Fi was so iffy about renewing this show.
Yeah.
Is that something like Ghost Hunters Live, which is one of their most popular shows, just the Ghost Hunters show
itself.
Well,
see, you know, a lot of people are into, and you know what? That we just got nothing to do with wrestling, but I know I've heard this, read stories, read reports about it. A lot of people are into being frightened.
Right.
They get off on that, right? Yeah. I mean, like I say, I don't do Freddy's Dead 1 or 34 or the 33 in between.
I did them all.
I just, it's like, excuse me, you know, I want to see ooze and you cutting people's heads off and then rolling down the street. I just, it's not my bag, you know, but I understand, you know, it's like you go on roller coasters to wet yourself. Excuse me?
Right.
Do I need that? I don't think so, you know, but I know that's why a lot of people do it, you know, is to get off. You know, it's a form of, you know, whatever for them.
I do it to
I won't say it replaces sex, but
I do it to scare my dates into cuddling.
Okay, well, I can understand why you
have
to do that.
Now 90% of the, well, maybe 80% of the guys out there all like these scary movies, and they take their dates to scary movies for the same reason, Les.
Yeah.
And so their date will get scared and hug up on them. Oh my God, protect me! I'll protect you from the screen. You know?
Yeah, right, I know.
You know, Les. You don't want to admit it.
Whatever. I guess I wasn't smart enough to do that.
Tickets officially went on sale Saturday morning to the public for WrestleMania 24 in Orlando.
And you've got yours.
No, I'm not going to Orlando. But it is at the Florida Citrus Bowl. According to WWE.com, 41,000 tickets for the event were sold in 30 minutes. Making WrestleMania 24 the highest-grossing event in the history of the Florida Citrus Bowl so far, noting that the show has already outsold the Rolling Stones Citrus Bowl appearance.
They
always sell out pretty good every year, but
they
haven't been to a bowl in
a
long time.
Well, it's because it's a big production,
mm-hmm.
you know, and are the matches every year of the same quality? No.
No,
they're not.
But... What a nice business cushion to get in a situation where you can just say, okay, buy this ticket without saying anything that's going to be on it, and to sell like this. And
well,
it does,
you know,
it every year.
You know, if you realize, and when I say that, I don't mean that in a disrespectful way, but I mean, it's like the hype of the Super Bowl every year.
Mm-hmm.
The game doesn't match the hype.
No.
Yet there's a huge attendance. People pay godly prices to see it, or you sit and watch the whole build up for hours before the Super Bowl, before the actual game, and sometimes the game is very secondary to everything else. As one football player said to a reporter years ago, the guy said about, do you feel that, like everyone else, Super Bowl's the ultimate game? He said, if this is the ultimate game, then why are they going to play it again next year?
That's true.
Yeah, and in anything, whether it be wrestling or football or anything else, with all the hype, you can only, you know, peek out and hope to get that kind of performance to match the hype just occasionally anyway.
Yes. But it's always good to fall back on that. You can probably still sell out every year, no matter what you put out there.
Oh yeah, but it's what I say. You mm-hmm. know, it's more about the pageantry than it is about the event.
Oh, definitely. Mm-hmm.
You know.
But it's nice that wrestling has something like that.
Yeah.
You don't see a lot of Super Bowl type you know, events that go on yearly for different industries.
You mean like the World Series?
Well, the World Series, it doesn't come close to the
Well,
hype.
You know, I'm not a soccer fan, but I'm sure the whole big thing, you know, where they have whatever their World Championship is, mm-hmm. is a big deal, too.
The World Series is up there, but I think the hype for the Super Bowl is just completely not in the same league, because the World Series is at least four games. You know
yeah.
what I mean? Super
yeah.
Bowl's one. This is
well,
it.
And of course, yeah, but that's the thing too. You know you're right. That makes a difference to us to mm-hmm. a certain degree. But I mean, yeah, there's a huge amount of, well, you know, it's like the World Series where each member of the team and the starting team is introduced and, you know, so forth and so on. So they add that to it. That isn't a weekly or daily occurrence, you
right.
know, at just a standard Major League Baseball game, too. So.
We need to come up with something like that, Les.
Yeah.
A big hype event show every year for, like, no reason other than it's that certain date.
Yeah, okay. Well, you know, I'll take the payoff and the money. You build the show. Okay?
We'll brainstorm after the show here. we're going to take a break, guys. We've got Brian Alvarez from Figure Four Online. He is he's going to be joining us. We're going to be talking suspensions, Les.
We are.
Yes.
Mine or yours?
neither one of us, thank
oh,
God.
Oh, okay.
Not this time.
All right.
But Brian's going to be with us in just a little bit. Don't forget, we've also got Sean Stasiak coming on later in the show. He's going to be our featured guest. He's got a new DVD documentary out. It's called Sean Stasiak, Determined.
And you know what? I watched that and didn't know what I was going to see, but I was it was very interesting. I found it very, very interesting.
It was good stuff. And we're going to talk to him all about that in his career. And he's not a guy that does a lot of interviews, so this is going to be a good one. We will take a break. We'll be right back, guys. It's Doc Young and Les Thatcher, Wrestling Weekly.
Wrestling Weekly will return to all the fun right after this.
What are you doing? You having fun?
I'm having a blast.
What triggers the attention of a pro wrestling fan? Is it the overall ability of the superstar? Is it the angles with a mixture of drama? What drives the fans wanting to learn more about this pastime? When it reaches a boiling point and you know you're hooked on the thrill, it's no longer considered just a passion. It's an obsession.
Your favorite all-in-one online wrestling site has changed. That's right, wrestling fans. If you are obsessed with everything wrestling, check out the same site with the new name, Online World of Wrestling. As crazy as it may sound, the same content you have come to know, expect, and rely on is still there on every single page of the site under a new name. If you're looking for the most comprehensive information on the entire world of wrestling, then head on over to www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. Online World of Wrestling still supplies you with all the news and information, plus galleries and bios of your favorite all-time wrestlers. Climb aboard as we head on over to onlineworldofwrestling.com. New packaging, same great flavor.
Yo, check out the new hot wrestling shop called Mad Maniacs. With a large inventory of shirts, replica belts, and action figures you can obtain and need for wrestling merchandise. Remember that we get fresh stock weekly, so don't forget to check it out. Also, with items coming in faster than Toys R Us and Walmart, you should never become disappointed. Plus half the price on WWE.com. Remember, that's www.madmaniacs.com.
The irresistible Doc Young.
Booyah!
The legendary Les Thatcher.
Brilliant!
The award-winning show taking the internet by storm. Wrestling Weekly.
Oh, great Odin's Raven!
Every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 1 a.m. GMT. On WrestlingWeekly.com and WrestlingRadioNetwork.com.
Here's the latest
latest news and information on total nonstop action wrestling. It's TNAWrestling.com. TNAWrestling.com. Log on right now and get your fix of all things TNA Wrestling. Event photos, streaming video, and all of the backstage gossip is just one click away. Plus, right now, you can find special savings in our merchandise area with a complete line of DVDs featuring Nevermore, the best of Raven, Enigma, the best of Jeff Hardy, and Phenomenal, the best of AJ Styles. Plus, all of our monthly pay-per-view events on DVD as well. And don't forget to check out photos of our lovely ladies in the knockout section. It's your online home for total nonstop action wrestling. It's TNAWrestling.com. TNAWrestling.com.
Welcome back, everybody. Doc Young and Les Thatcher with you on Wrestling Weekly. On the line right now from Figure 4 Weekly Newsletter. It's at figure4online.com. Our Hot Topic correspondent, Brian Alvarez, with us. Brian, you're
the one-eyed bandit.
Yes.
I am. Literally a one-eyed bandit right now.
For those who don't know, very quickly before we move on to other topics, what exactly happened to your eye?
Well, I was training at Buddy's school, his wrestling school, and we were just doing basic, the most basic chain wrestling you could possibly do. And I had a guy's arm. It was Paul, one of the trainees, and I gave him the office, and he went to do a reversal. And he decided, and he's 6 feet tall and like 220 pounds, and I'm 5'7". So his escape was to do a cartwheel. So he does the cartwheel, and as he came up, I just got waylaid in the eye, and I immediately saw double, and I was going to keep going, but then I said, you know, is my eye bleeding? And he goes, yes. And it ended up just being a cut above the eye, but I went inside, and I blew my nose, and right underneath my eye, it immediately just swelled way up. And I went into the doctor, and they said it's likely a blowout fracture. When I look up, I see double, which may be like that for the rest of my life, for all I know. So yeah, I'm just... The swelling's all gone down, and it looks normal on the outside, but it's not quite normal on the inside. But it's not like a major deal where it affects me.
I'm going to ask, and I'm probably not going to want to know after I get the answer, what was he cartwheeling out of that he would be chain wrestling?
Well, you know, you've got the arm, and so you do a one-arm cartwheel.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I got
he wasn't just randomly doing cartwheels.
So he kicked you as he went over.
No, he just as he was coming up. I don't know what it's on tape somewhere. I haven't watched it yet. But as he was coming up, his elbow just whacked me right in the eye.
You haven't watched it because you can't see it.
There's that too.
I'm sorry, but for those who don't know, Brian he's you know a part-time professional wrestler. He's semi-retired, I guess. And you're
semi-retired. Wrestler.
Yeah, the youngest semi-retired wrestler in the Northwest, but you're getting ready to go on this tour, and that's why you're training.
Well, I pretty much always train, but but yes, there is a tour coming up November 15th in Louisville for Derby City Wrestling. I'll be facing Ted McNaylor, and then November 18th in Philadelphia at the ECW Arena, I'll be facing Larry Sweeney, and somewhere in the middle there, I'll be at the first Chikara show on November 16th of their three straight nights, and then November 17th, I'll be at the UFC in Newark. So.
Wow.
Yeah.
But you won't be competing in the UFC.
Well, I don't know. I'm working on trying to get a dark match, but state of my eye may not allow it.
I don't know. If you can get that hurt by a cartwheel, I don't see this tour going very well.
Well, I don't expect Larry Sweeney or Ted McNaylor to be doing many cartwheels, so I think I'll be all right.
Excellent. Let's get into the hot topic. Of course, the big news this last week. This is coming out of the Associated Press, this is coming straight from WWE. It says, in accordance with its substance abuse and drug testing policy, WWE on Friday suspended the following performers for violations: Chris Mordetsky, Chris Masters, for 60 days. It says second violation, and Harry Smith, D.H. Smith, who wrestled, one match? For 30 days.
Two matches,
okay.
Two matches on TV, but yeah.
Of course,
beginning on November 1st, the company was making all their drug testing failures public. What's the big story? Exactly, what's the inside story here on Chris Masters, D.H. Smith, this whole suspension?
Well, I don't have it confirmed, but the rumor is he failed. He had Winstrol in his system, which is a steroid, and it's probably the same thing for Chris Masters. But I would normally say two dumb guys, but I'm going to at least give Harry the benefit of the doubt, because the reality is, nearly everybody, and I shouldn't say nearly everybody, but a lot of people in WWE are on steroids, and he's new. He's, from talking to people that have been around him of late, he's really, really big, and this is probably just a situation where nobody really knows the deal. It's not like it's a well-known thing that WWE explains all of these loopholes. Word sort of gets around. And I think that word, I mentioned this a long time ago, but the first person that called me after the original wellness meeting was Chris Benoit, and he wanted me to explain to him what was going on, and I didn't know. Mm-hmm. But the point of the call was, he didn't know either. Nobody had any idea what was going on. It was a learning process for everybody, and over the last 2 years, everybody has sort of started to figure out, okay, this is what I can do, this is what I can get away with, this is how I can get away with it.
Right.
And Harry, you know, he is new. He's a new guy, and now he's learning some lessons. But in the case of Chris Masters, this is supposedly a second failure, and I was told by somebody that would probably know that there's no way that this was anything less than his fourth failure, which mm-hmm. obviously that raises a whole bunch of different questions. But failing four times, or even failing twice, and especially he just came off a suspension like weeks ago.
Right.
He just got suspended, and now he got suspended again. I mean, this is God bless the guy. Not a smart dude. I mean,
he gets ultimate doofus award for the year 2000.
Yeah, this is incredible stupidity. Especially you know, as I noted, there's a lot of guys on steroids in WWE. This is not rocket science how to pass these tests. I mean, it's very possible to do so, and to fail four times.
Right.
I mean, you know,
the thing that drives me crazy, Brian, with this, the thing with Harry Smith especially, is he is a some of the older ones, or the ones who got their nose buried in the higher upper ends, or whatever the case may be, that are out there singing that negative, you know, that song, "I've never done this, I wouldn't do this, I shouldn't do this." But that's been his pitch from the get-go. Well, I know what happened to my father, and to have this happen to him, to me, it's more damaging credibility-wise than it would be to you or I. You know?
Well, yeah, and you also have to remember that when he made that comment about his dad, that was 4 years ago, and from that period till now, I mean, much has changed in his life. He's in WWE now, and obviously he feels that there are different requirements. And you're right. I mean, a lot of people noted when his dad died, the coroner flat out said this was steroid related. And he was also, over, you know, the last 6 months or so, very close to Chris Benoit. And
I know Chris was high on the kid, and you know, was very strong on the fact that he was going to make it, and of course he wanted him to. But you know the funny thing is, when I first saw when he made his debut on television, I noted that he looked better physically than he did when I seen him in Ohio Valley, but having been around professional bodybuilding for quite some, quite a bit of time, he didn't look like he'd done anything that couldn't, you or I couldn't have done without it,
yep.
You know, and therein lies a story in itself.
Well, the thing also is when you look at bodybuilders, I mean, those are guys that are doing a different sort of training and dieting and different sort of sleep patterns. I mean, you would know that bodybuilders are a very obsessive group of people.
Yeah.
And it's much harder to do that when you're in the professional wrestling business. It's one thing, like, I could think in Ohio Valley, since you're living in Louisville and you're doing your few shows here and there, it would be easier than being on the road to look good, but there are a lot of guys in WWE, and we've seen it with drug testing failures, where you look at a guy and you just think to yourself, that guy was on something?
I think the most ludicrous, the thing that made me laugh, when I say laugh, and I don't mean it in a disrespectful way, but when I heard Umaga. I thought, okay.
Right.
Well, I mean, with Umaga, I can at least look at it like, you know, people hear that growth hormone burns fat and that sort of thing. I can see him maybe wanting to trim down and get toned. But to me, it's like when I see a Randy Orton who's failed God knows how many tests and his name has come up as having purchased drugs, and you look at this laundry list of drugs that Randy Orton's gotten, and then you see him on TV, and I look at him and I think, just work out, buddy. Just
right.
Work out. You all of these drugs, and you still look like that. I mean, it just baffles
yeah,
me.
Yeah, it's well, and that's what I say, you know, about Harry. When I saw him, I did note it with in passing. I mean, I didn't stop and dwell on it, but I thought, yeah, he looks a little bigger, you know. But then again, not any bigger. I mean, you know, I have competed and I've competed naturally, and so you know, he didn't. Again, he wasn't as tight or hard. Those you know bodybuilding expressions as I would expect with you know with it, the help of the juice but like you say it a lot of kids don't you know I know I've worked with kids and I know you know that they've done their cycle and I notice some of the symptoms like puffiness you know holding water and I remember one kid I said what do you want nothing. So we need nothing. Well, I said, look, you're doing something. Well, I can look at you and tell you can. I said, yeah, you're holding water. Well, you know, I'm not eating real good and I'm not training as steady as it. I said, why are you wasting your money and your time then? But I said, because the main thing is when you come off the cycle, you're going to go right back to where you were.
Right.
Because you haven't built any muscle mass. You put some water between the skin and the muscle, or some water in the muscle, which you can do with creatine, for Christ's sake. You know?
Well, I mean, I've seen indie guys that when they've got a big show coming up, they'll get on something, still not work out,
yeah.
and then they'll get off it and not work out at all during the meantime. And it just I don't know if that's what you want to do, but there's different and probably better ways to go about this than that.
Well, you know, I mean, my point is this. If you're going to waste the money and roll the dice on your health, at least do it right.
Sure, yeah.
You know, I mean.
Get something out of it if you're going
yeah,
exactly. to do it. Yeah.
Exactly.
Now, here's my question about this. I guess Chris Masters put out a statement saying that.
I got to hear this one.
That this second violation.
There must have been a hole in the prophylactic.
It was in correlation to the first one in that he was still cycling off, I guess, or he
nope,
still
lie.
Had it in the system.
That's wrong. Because even the wellness policy is screwed up as it is. Actually, there's wording in there to that effect where they'll check your levels. And as long as your next test, the levels are down from the previous test, you're okay. So if he's cycling off, there's no way he would have failed a test. His levels would have had to be at the same level or higher.
Man.
Everybody
right.
has a stupid statement.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I don't want to accuse anybody of anything, but we've seen so many statements from so many different guys, and my favorite of the statements where a guy is, he's so angry and he's going to file suit and all of this, and then you never hear it about it again. It's like, in fact, there was I was talking to somebody from the California Commission, and there was a fighter who failed a test for marijuana, and it was a Japanese fighter. And in Japan, there was a guy recently, a K-1 fighter, that got caught with 5 grams of marijuana, and he got something like an 800,000 yen fine and 2 years in jail. Nothing to mess around with.
Right.
So,
my God.
Yeah, he gets...
So there are antiquated laws still in this world.
Yes. So he gets...
that sounds like Texas in 1960, for Christ.
he gets popped, or Vegas, actually, as well. He gets popped, and he sent a deal to the CSAC asking them to cancel his suspension. Cancel it was the words he used.
Mm-hmm.
So they figured, okay, this means you want an appeal. And he went all over Japan, and he's like, this is not true, this and that, we're going to appeal and everything like that. So anyway, the trial comes up, and he just didn't show up. They never heard from him again. So it's the same thing that happens when anybody fails a test. They make this big thing out of it. They have this public explanation. They're going to appeal. They're going to sue. They're going to this and that, and nothing happens. And to me, if I failed a steroid test and I wasn't on anything, I would sue. or right. whatever. I wouldn't just talk about it. I'd do something.
Right. And if well, I did do know, it, I wouldn't
know,
say anything.
Here's the thing, Brian. Don't you? You're a big MMA guy, and I've become a fan simply because it mirrors the business that I learned to love years ago, more than the business I learned to love years ago. But you know, you see the tough penalties on the guys failing there, and I tend to believe that if there is a government intervention or investigation or whatever the hell it happens to be, if that ever happens, and it, I think that's kind of died off. You can fill me in if you know the opposite of that. But I think if it comes to that, that professional wrestling is going to have to up their penalties as well, don't you think?
Well, the California Commission has already said that if anything happens in regard to Congress, then they will begin regulating wrestling in the same way that they regulate fighting, which will be the same random tests, the same failures, penalties, and that sort of thing. So there hasn't really been a change in WWE's policy aside from this announcing failures, and I don't believe that guys above the level of a Chris Masters are going to fail. Because the guys with the money, the guys with the good doctors, the guys that know the tricks, they're not failing anytime soon.
Right.
So I don't know if WWE, I mean, if there were great pressure on them, I think that they would have harsher penalties and that sort of thing. But you can already see, if you really look at this, like, they've got penalties that are not even being enforced. I mean, a three-strike rule, it's very likely that Orton should be gone, that Chris Masters should be gone. No one's been fired. I don't see Orton ever being fired, really. I see him failing about 30 drug tests and they still wouldn't fire him. And
yeah.
And a guy like Masters, I think they probably don't even really care that much, so he'd be a sacrificial lamb. He may be axed within the next year for failing another test just so they can say, "See?
Well,
fired
you know
this
what?
Guy."
And I have no proof of this, but just I think in the NFL they're your now, with DUIs and recreational drugs and stuff, that's a horse of another story. But I think with the steroid testing and stuff, that you're going to find the guys on the second team, the taxi squad, the lesser lights are going to be the ones that you're going to hear about. And I think, you know, if a Peyton Manning or a Tom Brady or somebody like that of high profile and of high dollar earner and a big star for a team is going to be swept under the rug.
It'll always be like that when the organization is in charge of the testing. The only time you ever see the big stars busted is when you've got an outside commission doing it. Like
yeah.
Sean Sherk, he was a lightweight champion. He got busted. They've had actually several UFC champions busted and stripped of the title. That's when you're going to see a guy at that level getting busted.
Right. You talked earlier, Brian, about Congress possibly legislating wrestling. Would that be the death of the indies?
No, he didn't say legislating wrestling.
Oh, regulating, I'm sorry. Would that be the death of the indies, though?
Well, it's not going to happen.
Like that happen?
It's not going to happen, so I don't think there will be no trials this year. I don't expect trials next year.
Mm-hmm.
I've written a lot about this, but the way it looks is when the Benoit thing first happened, I think everybody in Congress looked at this like, this is wacky pro wrestling. This should be easy to regulate. We can solve this drug problem. It's not a big deal. And as they started talking to more and more and more guys, it sort of, I think, became very clear to them that this is so big and so deep and so complicated.
Mm-hmm.
That the amount of time and effort and money that would be required to regulate professional wrestling, that ain't going to fly in the real world. I mean, it should. I mean, people are dying. But when you look at your average taxpayer and you've got a war in Iraq and presidential elections and God knows what else, and you're spending time and incredible amounts of money on pro wrestling, I don't see anything like that ever happening.
Do you think it's more complicated than regulating, say, baseball?
Well, baseball, I don't know enough about sports, but it's completely different because with pro wrestling, you've got a number of national organizations, you've got a number of smaller organizations, you've got a situation where WWE doesn't have to run anywhere if they don't want to.
Right.
This would have to be regulated on a state-by-state basis, and WWE just avoids those states.
Right.
It would take years to get regulation going in all those states as it is. Plus, you've got stuff like the indie groups. How do you regulate them the same as WWE? There are a lot of situations where states regulate wrestling, but not WWE, which, of course, is completely not fair. But it's just such a complicated situation that there's no easy, cheap, simple answer. And without that, nothing's going
to
happen.
Right.
You know, to try to give you an answer about the baseball thing, Doc, there are maybe, of all the teams in the United States below Major League, American League, and National League level,
mm-hmm.
What you would call minor leagues, right?
Right.
Probably maybe 15% of those are what they could consider independents, meaning they are privately owned, right? Okay, the rest of those are all what are considered part of the farm system, say the Cincinnati Reds, the Cleveland Indians, or, you know, Boston Red Sox, New York Yankees, Seattle Mariners, and so forth. So they are all tied into Major League through the owner, you know, they all, in other words, if you as an owner of the Cincinnati Reds draft a young player, you send him to one of your minor league teams, you don't send him to one of mine.
Right.
So that still is tied into Major League, so it can be controlled through the same arm.
Mm.
So basically, once you go through Major League Baseball, you've pretty much covered most everything.
Yeah.
Whereas
WWE,
the players
different. Aren't paid, so there's no way to regulate them to begin with.
Right.
So, you know what? And when I say this, I'm sure I get a lot of hate mail. If it were to downsize independent wrestling to the point where they actually had to be promoters that knew how to promote and wrestlers who knew how to wrestle, I'm for that.
That thought did cross my mind.
That ain't a bad thing, brother.
It isn't a bad thing, but I've actually worked in states where independent wrestling is regulated, and it's largely just as horrible as anywhere else.
Well, let me say this. After 47, you know, for the most part, I've owned I don't know how many wrestling licenses in how many states. And for the most part, all it's about is taking my money.
Yeah.
It doesn't guarantee, it doesn't help me if I'm injured. It doesn't guarantee me the promoter has to pay me a minimum amount or a percentage of the gate. All the commissioners are concerned with, do you have a license, sir? Yes, here it is. Okay. We're going to take your blood pressure. Okay. Check your heart rate. Okay.
It was largely to make sure that you didn't die.
Right.
On the spot,
or at least hope you didn't anyway.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, you're right.
Right.
And you know what? That's given me such a negative feel for commissions because, you know, it's like okay, I'm being governed, I'm being licensed, but what does it? Well, it helps the state. Helps the state do what? Pay the commissioner.
Earn some money.
Yeah, but I mean. You know, that's the bad thing. But again, I understand where Brian's come from too. To try to go, you know, and like I say, if it were to kill off 50% of the independent promotions, I think that'd be the greatest thing in the world.
Right. They're having a conversation in the chat room right now at WrestlingWeekly.com, and it's sort of tied into this. The question is does Vince use steroids?
Vince McMahon?
Yes. Stevie J brings up.
Who's asking that?
Chris the
Blind
Crusher.
Bill or
Chris Crusher says, "Does Vince use steroids?" But Stevie J says, "You know, all you got to do is look at McMahon." But he says not to mention that McMahon took himself off a performer's contract, so he doesn't have to abide by his own wellness policy.
What Vince does or doesn't do now, I have no. But listen, this I will say: Vince, user or not user, is an advocate weight. Trainer,
mm-hmm.
and very seriously weight trained. So he's going to be in good shape, whether drugs or no drugs.
Right.
That I can guarantee you. You know.
The question without answering the question is, how does Vince McMahon at 61 years old or 62 or whatever he is have the amount of testosterone in his body naturally to be able to achieve and maintain the size that he has achieved and maintained at 62, which should answer your question.
Who knows? You see, I'm not up on all that stuff, so I wouldn't be able to answer that. Brian, you've got, of course, the newsletter coming out tonight.
I do.
The Figure Four newsletter.
I've been working on it all day.
Tell us about some of the shows at your site. You got a lot of good stuff that you offer over at figure4online.com.
We actually had a free show week last week, and I believe if you go to figure4online.com and click on the... Actually, I don't know where they would be. But just go to figure4online.com. We've got a free show up today, a Brian and Vinny show from yesterday, so you can check that out. And just a ton of shows. If you like wrestling radio, we got a show literally every day, sometimes two a day, at least an hour long. And the archive for members, I mean, I was doing the math, and if you sign up for 1 month, it is literally impossible to go through all of the content on the website because there's more hours of audio archived than there are hours in a month. So you get your money's worth, basically, for
right.
your $7.99.
And let me say that the Vinny and Brian shows are, not Laurel and Hardy necessarily or Abbott and Costello, but they have a humor all of their own.
They certainly do.
On the Brian and Vinny show today, you and I should have talked about this during the commercial break, but you revealed the secret of the show.
I sort of did, yes.
Which,
I don't even remember what it is at this point. I just remember laughing about it last night.
Which I'll tell Les later. I really don't think I want to talk about this on the air right now. But Les has been offered this secret of the show in the past.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me?
I will add that the secret of the show was not by design. It was just after 2 years I finally figured it out.
Right. But it seems to come out that way, but I'll tell Les about that later.
And we want to also mention that Brian now is the lead host on Wrestling Observer Live on Sunday nights.
That's right. Every Sunday night on Sirius Satellite Radio, and there's, if you go to figure4online.com, there's a in the menu, it just says WOL. You can click on that and listen live, and show's free every Sunday night for 2 hours. Lots of big guests. We had Bret Hart on this past Sunday night, and in today's news update, we have a link to that show for free if you want to hear it. And if you sign up, we've got an archive of Observer Lives dating back to about 1999. If you missed a show any time in the last 7 years or so.
And he actually has the editor and publisher of Wrestling Observer on occasionally. Now.
He does occasionally come on, yeah.
Sometimes.
That's right. We don't want to give him too much airtime. But
there you go.
You're a busy man, Brian, and I know you're busy tonight because the newsletter has to go out, so we're going to let you go, but we'll talk to you again on the show in a few weeks.
Brian, I hope the eye is much better and everything goes back to normal.
Yes.
Well, thank you. So do I.
Truly.
That's my goal.
We'll talk to you soon, Brian. Thanks a lot.
All right, thanks for having me on.
Brian Alvarez from figure4online.com, guys. Don't forget, we got Sean Stasiak coming up in just a little bit. But Les, it's time to get back into some more of the news. And, of course, before we get Sean on.
Well, part of the, you haven't even brought this up yet. But part of the reason I watch Dancing with the Stars on Monday night is because the great Khali is going to face Hornswoggle at the next pay-per-view.
Good Lord,
and they should drug test the people that wrote that. I can see them having a tremendous contest for possibly 10 seconds.
Yes.
And then it should fall apart and be the most disastrous, horrendous piece of crap that God has ever created in terms of inside of a wrestling ring.
And there's only 40?
There is no possible. I mean, aside from this being the most, just a stupid cartoon, sophomoric piece of junk, I can't even imagine. Would I give you 40 cents for it or $40?
Yeah. No. And it's all for $40, folks.
And I'm sorry to say I work in this industry.
Right.
And I am sincere when I say that.
Do you sometimes hide your face in the grocery store?
Yes, I do. No, but I'd hide the people who come up with this.
Right.
They should be drug tested for hallucinogenics, not for steroids.
Right.
For mind-altering drugs.
The rest of their Survivor Series pay-per-view so far, guys, according to WWE.com, looks like this. There's going to be a traditional Survivor Series elimination match. It's Triple H versus Intercontinental Champion Jeff Hardy. Triple H with Jeff Hardy, Matt Hardy, Rey Mysterio, and Kane taking on Umaga, Mr. Kennedy, MVP, Finley, and Big Daddy V. It's almost like a TNA Impact.
Yeah, what?
It's almost like a TNA Impact.
Well, they
five-on-five,
Survivor
but this
Series,
is...
they do that once a year.
Yes, this is Survivor Series.
TNA does it every week.
Right.
There's a difference.
There is a difference.
Yes, there is.
Though...
Speaking of TNA, I saw two things. First of all, I really like I like Tomko and Styles as a team. I think they, you know, I watch them. I think now if they just had a good babyface team to put in with them and let them work a conventional match,
mm-hmm.
this could actually be professional wrestling.
Do you miss the Naturals at this point?
That wasn't the team I had in mind. I don't really, well, you know, I tell you, Storm and Harris as a team, as a babyface team, would have been good against these guys. I honestly believe that. I think they're way, you know, I hate Storm's gimmick, and you know that. It's garbage, it's crap, and I like James Storm, but
right.
I think the gimmick sucks, the big one. They're not using Chris worth a damn. So I could, you know, I don't see them bringing them back together or with any way that makes any sense, but that would be, you know, off the top of my head, that would be my call.
Right.
Yeah, them as a babyface team against Tomko and Styles, I could see as having some tremendous, I mean, some good matches, you know. The Bobby Roode, Robert Roode, and I knew him when he was Bobby.
Right.
and Joe thing with the double juice, the double blood, I thought, wow, this is a great start, but, where they go from there, of course, is more important than a great start.
Right.
Hopefully they build into something that makes sense. I don't know that they will.
Two good wrestlers, though, that have the ability to do it.
Well, in Charlotte at the fan the Legends thing, NWA Legends thing, Cornette mentioned that Bobby Roode was born in the wrong time. He should have been born with those of us in that room the night of the banquet, and I agree. He's got a lot of talent. With his both feet on the ground, he doesn't have to get up in the air, and he's over 130 pounds. I'm really excited about that. Anyway. I like I say, it depends on what they do with it. I did see that last, they're still pulling a one with two great hours.
Mm-hmm. 0.99 this last week.
Well, okay, 0.99, which is not even a one.
Mm-mm.
Okay, but, I mean, it's just, you know, the talents there is just not being utilized.
Right.
And you wonder why I watch Dancing with the Stars. Have you seen Mel B in his hot black outfit she's got on? I mean, I'm sorry. and you want me to watch Hornswoggle and Coach chase each other around?
Wait a minute. You can watch Melanie B in this hot outfit, but I can't watch Christy Hemme.
Well, but the problem is Melanie has talent. She can sing and dance now.
Oh.
And Christy can walk and chew gum.
It's just perception, I guess.
Her acting, I said to a guy who managed for me, who actually has a theatrical background, Brock Guffman, who to me, if there was a place for managers in the business today, would be up there. He's a good personal friend. I said to him, I says, poor Christy needs to go back to acting school or go to acting school to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
She comes across as, I mean, she's horrible. I mean, she's horrible. I'm sorry. She's horrible. Did I say that? Yes, I
yes,
did.
Yes, you did.
well, you know, the women's division is not being really pushed there. Awesome Kong is awesome, but her mechanics are horrible.
Mm-hmm.
She goes to arm whip. Watch Jamie Noble arm whip someone across the ring. That is the way it should be done, and not because you're Jamie's size, because you're anybody's size. The way Kong twitches her wrist and these little girls go running across there and she didn't throw anybody. And it looks like crap.
Mm-hmm.
You see, to work a big person like that, the little person or the average-sized person has to be a more talented worker to get the other person over, which is not the case what they're doing there.
Right.
It's just they're putting... You're smaller than she is, so you'll go in there. And the other, and to me, these little things drive me frigging insane. It's like the girls come to the ring, and they look at Kong, and like they take the big gulp, And of course, they're females. They don't have Adam's apples. But they take the big gulp and they do their little. And I'm thinking, what the hell are you? You know, you've seen her for 3 weeks.
Right.
You know what she. Why are you? And now you're. Now when you should have your game face on, now you want to show fear. Does that make any sense to anybody? I mean, you know, do I think that Peyton Manning or Tom Brady might have had an apprehensive moment this past week in preparing for the game of the unbeatens with the Colts and the Patriots on Sunday? Of course they did. You know, mm-hmm. you always gut check yourself. You know, it's a combination of fear and confidence that makes the adrenaline run, fear of failure. But you don't go out in front of the crowd and think, oh, my God, why am I here? Well, you dumbass, you signed a contract to be here. That's exactly why you're here.
Right.
And your girl Christy did it well, too. oh, my God. And like her goofy boyfriend who has no talent either. What the hell is his name? Huh? Hello?
I'm thinking.
See? He's another great performer. Anyway, and with Jimmy Rave, who I don't know why this threesome is together, but they are. Well, they argue like everybody on that show argues. Mm-hmm. Everybody's mad at everybody else.
Right.
And I said to James Gutman today, the angles remind me of the Bickersons, and this is something, a radio show of a husband and wife who constantly argued. This is back before television. None
right.
of you guys were born yet. I was like 4 or 5 years old. But it's like, oh, you know, but it's not just the angles any longer. Everybody's mad at everybody.
Right.
I mean, they had Chris Harris and Rhino as partners, and they lost the match, and they argued. I thought, no, who cares? I mean, it's like if ever, you know what I'm saying? It's like if there's one person in the crowd's naked, then that person stands out from the other 45. But if all 46 are naked, then okay.
Right.
You know, it's just, it's come on. And this is, and when I bitch about this and gripe and groan, it's because, you know what? It's common sense.
Mm-hmm.
It's not rocket science here.
Right.
You know, you're not, it's a little detail things that they don't have them. There's no logic to any of it. And I just hope with Joe and Rude it is, because I could see that coming into some, unless they think that, you know, Tracy has to be part of it and nonsense like that.
Right.
And then 2 weeks ago where they had Mike Tenay get mad at Cornette, I think, excuse me? What the hell is this about now?
Mm-hmm.
This is like John Madden coming out of the football booth, going down to one of the referees and saying, you made a bad call.
Right.
And the referee's going to look and say, John, unless I miss my guess, you don't coach either one of these teams, so get your ass off my field because you're a commentator.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're an analyst. I mean, and my point there being is, where, you know, wait a minute. Can I spend $40 to see Mike Tenay and Jim Cornette argue? God, who do I give the money to?
Right.
I'm wetting myself in anticipation here.
Mm-hmm.
No, but you see, I mean, am I being sarcastic? Yes.
Yes.
Because it is stupid. I'd like to say it was something else, but it's stupid. It makes no sense, and it has nothing to further a storyline nor to make you want to buy a pay-per-view, which is where the money comes from.
Right.
Right? So and Pac-Man didn't get back in the NFL, which doesn't, the fact that he did the stupid money thing in TNA, I don't care if he ever gets back in the NFL. I mean, he threw their money in the air when they signed him.
Right.
You know, I mean, they flushed that down the toilet too. It's just one bad judgment after another, and I can't believe I know there are people there that are smarter than that.
Right.
They just—they don't have any say-so, I'm assuming.
Yeah, they need to get some.
Well, it's the Emperor's new suit. It's the 2007 version of the Emperor's new suit.
Yeah,
he's naked, but they're all telling him, yes, he looks great in his clothes.
It's all about marketing.
Let's. Well, you know what? There are talented people in this industry, but they're all being paid to shut their mouths and say you like what I'm doing, whether it makes any sense or not.
Right.
And you know what? I think that's great. Let's kill it. You can't kill this business. That's the whole stupid part. You can't. You can beat it down. I've seen it happen. But you can't kill it, you know. But none of this is entertaining. And then when you tell me, hey, guess who's going to be on Survivor Series? I don't know who. Hornswoggle against the Great Khali. Are you people out of your friggin' mind?
Right.
You know, what kind of acid are you dropping? And how many tabs, for Christ's sake? I mean, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been stoned. I couldn't come up with this. I honestly couldn't.
Since we just came back full circle to Survivor Series, one of the other matches already that is already announced as World Heavyweight Championship match is a Hell in a Cell match, Batista versus The Undertaker. Seen that. WWE Championship match, Randy Orton taking on Shawn Michaels again. This is, I guess they have new stipulations.
And the super kick's been banned.
The super kick has been banned. HBK will get disqualified, and he won't get another shot at the title if he uses that. But Randy Orton can now lose the title on DQ also.
Whatever.
So this is it's getting a little complicated, but it's also stupid. It's kind of like, okay, we're going to box, but you can't hit him with your left hand. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do know what you mean. Sure.
So it's that kind of, if you're going to wrestle, wrestle.
You know what? Years when these guys could do it, but it couldn't be done with today's fans or in this climate, the way the climate is in the business today. But I've never been in one, but I have seen matches. We didn't have them. I started to say we had them a lot, and I guess we did have them a lot over the 20 years that I wrestled. But it wasn't like one a week, and it wasn't in the same territory always. But it would come down to where the stipulation was this: no punching or kicking. You had to wrestle, mm-hmm. right? And then at some point, it could be either the heel would gourd the babyface into throwing the first punch and getting him disqualified, right?
Right.
But you were taking the heel's, manipulative things away from him, right?
Mm-hmm.
The punching, the stuff that he did that made him a heel. And he would be like a duck out of, or like a fish out of water, right?
Right.
But the wrestlers had to portray it, and it was, when it's done right, it was entertaining, and of course it was a build because, the heel might, rub his hand across in the baby face's face, right? Just pie face him, which is not illegal. He didn't hit anybody, right?
Right.
And the baby face would draw his fist back and realize he couldn't hit it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, but with your body language and your facial expressions, you told the story.
Right.
And to do it, like I say, it was done once in a great while, and it was effective, right? But again, there's a stipulation on every match, and some matches have so many stipulations you can't even remember them, and if you do remember them, none of them make sense.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, what you're saying, it's 2007 entertainment. I hesitate
right.
to call it wrestling, although with Orton and Shawn, it should very well be, you know.
Right. Man, we can't really get into the habit, though, of calling it just entertainment, because Entertainment Weekly, that name's already taken. We can't change the name of the show.
Well, you know what? You can call it wrestling if you like. I choke sometimes when I try to call it that.
I hear you. According to a report by Mike Johnson of PW Insider, former ECW star C.W. Anderson has announced his official retirement from pro wrestling. Anderson made his decision known via a phone conversation, stating that he realized it was time to move on and focus on his family. Anderson hadn't wrestled for the last couple of months since his release from WWE as part of ECW, briefly returning to Japan and working for some independent promotions in the Mid-Atlantic region. But it's kind of sad.
I don't know CW. I honestly have not seen him work a lot. So,
really?
Although I've heard good things about the guy.
Yeah, I like him. He's a pretty smart guy. Doesn't take a lot of guff, though, but...
What?
He doesn't take a lot of guff, though, but... he's an outspoken person.
Yeah. Well,
doesn't mind saying what's on
that.
His mind. Doesn't matter who's paying him.
I don't have a problem with that.
Right.
I know a couple.
Right.
I went and looked in the mirror, I'd see.
Yeah, you see one every morning.
I run around with my foot in my mouth all the time, but you know what? if the shoe fits, wear it, you know, and if you can't deal with the truth, then don't deal with it.
Right.
I'm cool with that. Like I told somebody the other day, I said, listen, you know, if you bought a ticket, you're welcome to an opinion, which doesn't mean it means any damn thing or that it makes any sense or that you know anything, but you're welcome to your opinion.
Right.
And that's that, you know, and when I say my statements and my feelings come from being internally in the business and giving of myself spiritually, physically, bloodletting, and so forth for this industry. Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm not, if I want to see a circus act, I go to the circus.
Right.
It's real simple. You know, if I want to see comedy, I turn on Comedy Central.
Right.
And I cross my fingers and my toes if I want to see wrestling and turn on a wrestling show. And chances are I won't see it either. So I you know, and I find that sad. I honestly do.
UFC.com has announced that Brock Lesnar will make his Octagon debut against former UFC heavyweight champion Frank Mir at UFC 81 on February 2nd in Las Vegas. Now,
you know what? I know a lot of people have are down on Brock because of the way he left, and I will say that Brock should have kept his opinions. If he wanted to go back to wrestling, he should have kept his opinions to himself.
Although right.
He's a talented athlete. He really is, and I hope he does well. I'm not an expert on MMA. I saw his first and only fight now.
Min-Soo Kim.
Huh?
Min-Soo Kim.
Anyway, whoever. But, here's a big guy who can move. You know, it's not, he just doesn't have size, but he's very mobile and a good athlete. And, it's hard to say, I don't know who his boxing coaches are or his striking coaches, and stuff like that, but, I wish him well. I hope he does well. I'm going to follow his career.
This is going to be a big match. This is no, Brock taking on some little guy so everyone can just see Brock fight. This is going to be a good fight.
Right. Yeah. I think so.
Frank Mir's no pushover.
No.
I'm looking forward to it.
Lesnar is a tremendous athlete, and I hope he does well.
Absolutely. I may actually have to buy one of these. Well, this one, just to see it, because I'm excited for this one. I want to see that, and that's the whole point, isn't it?
Yeah, that you're excited and you want to see it. Yeah,
right.
That kind of makes the point.
Mm-hmm.
Good thought, bro.
TNA Genesis, guys, is coming up this Sunday, unless it's that time again. It's time to play the pay-per-view prediction game.
Okay.
As always, we start out with one of your favorite type of matches. It's the TNA Women's Championship.
How many people are in it?
That was a joke. Four. Isn't that terrible?
Of course. Why would you have two?
Yep.
a title holder and a contender.
Yep.
I don't know. That would just probably make sense.
I'm waiting for a UFC to say, maybe we should throw four guys in the octagon.
I think they're smarter than that.
Yeah, it ain't happened yet.
I hope they're smarter than that.
It's going to be Gail Kim, Roxy Laveau, OBD, and Angel Williams.
Well, I would say Gail Kim keeps the title simply because she just got the title.
Right.
But that at least would be my hope, unless Russo gets twitchy or has a nervous twitch or something. And I don't know. But anyway, I'll take Gail Kim.
I hope he doesn't, and I'm going to go with Gail Kim also. The next matchup is a Shop of Horrors match. You notice Abyss is always in some match that has something to do with whore?
Yes, I know, and I saw him putting Dustin's horrible gimmick through. God, the mouth, the rat, and the whole thing is just ludicrous. I'm sorry, it is.
Yeah, it's going to be Abyss.
It is BS.
Yeah,
with a capital B and a capital S. And I saw Abyss putting through the fake walls. They were so fake. It didn't mean anything.
Paper.
Huh?
Paper.
Well, yeah, it was a little, I think maybe styrofoam, actually.
But Abyss taking on Black Rain. Is this a tough one to call, Les?
I don't think so.
I don't either. I'm going to go with Abyss.
Yeah, I think so.
Next up, tag team match. Straight tag team match. Team 3D taking on the Motor City Machine Guns.
Well, you know, here's the crazy thing about this. And again, they have put down the X Division. It has taken six X Division guys jump in the ring, and they get beaten down and so forth and so on, right?
Mm-hmm.
My point here is, how did you get to this match? And I'm a big fan of Chris and Shelley because I see the potential in them, but they should have come up on the long end of the stick at some point before this, because my point is this: if six X Division guys run out there and they can't beat 3D, then how can these two guys beat 3D?
Right.
I mean, this is kind of course, we're talking common sense and logic here, right? And I tend to believe that 3D is going to have to get their hand raised in this thing, which is not going to do anything for the Machine Guns or the X Division, but I think that's going to be the way it's going to be.
I'm going to go out on a limb, and I'm going to say the Machine Guns get the victory on this one. Somehow they pull this one out. That's my hope. Next up is the matchup we spoke about earlier, Samoa Joe taking on Robert Roode.
Well, see, now to me, Roode has to win this to keep the feud alive.
Definitely.
So I'm going to go with Roode, but I get the feeling that Joe's probably going to come up the winner on this, but I'm going to go with Roode.
I have a good feeling about this. I really think, I hope, that they're really going to build this up into something long-term and that Robert Roode gets his hand raised in this somehow.
Here's the thing. Joe, common sense is once the babyface is decisively won, then it should be over, right?
Right.
And I see mileage out of this, but to gain that mileage, you've got to put Roode over in this shot.
Absolutely. Next up is the TNA World Heavyweight Championship match, which is kind of a weird one, but it's Kurt Angle.
I know. It's a tag match, and yes, whoever wins is the world champion.
Whoever wins world champion.
There's a mystery guy who could be the janitor at Disney World.
Mm-hmm.
Could be your mother. I don't know who it is.
But supposedly it's an ex-champion. An ex-WWE.
Yes, I know.
Champion.
And I think I know. I think it's probably a booker. But the point is, I don't even know how to pick this thing. I mean, to start with, you bring in the X-Factor is the mystery partner. Good sense says that you've got to build it. Once the mystery partner's in, you've got to make him look strong because otherwise, what's the value of the mystery partner?
Right.
Let me get this right. Now, Nash and Angle are at total odds and hate each other, so now we're going to make them partners.
Right.
Wow. Which means that Nash is actually going to probably Pearl Harbor Angle at some point. I don't know. You pick them. I don't even care.
I can't.
I don't. I mean, it's they have a here's the sad thing. This is a brand new title, right? The TNA World Title,
yes.
Right? And they have devaluated it already by meaningless matches and run-ins and so forth and so on. I feel Sting and Angle should be smart enough between the two of them to come up with some clean finishes to work a two or three match program. If Sting is actually leaving, as the rumors have it, at the first year, finally getting the Angle over at the end and move on with your life. But I don't even care about this match because what's the value of the title if just any? I mean, what if Sting picks his son?
Right.
Right, and hits Angle with a shovel and throws his son on top of him. So that means his son, who is a high school senior or junior or whatever, is now TNA World Champion.
Yeah.
You see my point?
Mm-hmm.
So you pick one, and I'll accept your expert advice because
I'm going with Kurt.
Okay.
I really can't see a good resolution to this match.
Well, it's so muddled again, right?
Right.
I mean, you know, it's like the whoever pins whoever gets all the titles. Kurt's already had every title in the company, and
right.
You know, and it's just the titles are meaningless, honestly.
Right.
And I hate to say that, but it's true.
The only interesting part is to see who the mystery partner is going to be, and before the bell even rings, that's going to be told. So, not a lot of point. But check it out anyway. Something good might happen. TNA Genesis.
Yeah, your TV will black out.
This Sunday on pay-per-view. We're going to take a break. We've got featured guests coming up.
Or the guy writing this mess may have a seat. No, I wouldn't wish that on anybody.
Right. We're going to take a break, guys. We've got Sean Stasiak coming up. He's our featured guest. We'll be back in just a couple minutes here.
You're listening to WrestlingWeekly.com. We always have the scoop on the inside of professional wrestling.
Don't listen to me, people. You can find out for yourself right now at home.
What triggers the attention of a pro wrestling fan? Is it the overall ability of the superstar? Is it the angles with a mixture of drama? What drives the fans wanting to learn more about this pastime? When it reaches a boiling point and you know you're hooked on the thrill, it's no longer considered just a passion. It's an obsession.
All aboard!
Your favorite all-in-one online wrestling site has changed. That's right, wrestling fans. If you are obsessed with everything wrestling, check out the same site with the new name, Online World of Wrestling. As crazy as it may sound, the same content you have come to know, expect, and rely on is still there on every single page of the site under a new name. If you're looking for the most comprehensive information on the entire world of wrestling, then head on over to www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. Online World of Wrestling still supplies you with all the news and information, plus galleries and bios of your favorite all-time wrestlers. Climb aboard as we head on over to OnlineWorldOfWrestling.com. New packaging, same great flavor.
Yo, check out the new hot wrestling shop called Mad Maniacs. With a large inventory of shirts, replica belts, and action figures you can obtain and need for wrestling merchandise. Remember that we get fresh stock weekly, so don't forget to check it out. Also, with items coming in faster than Toys R Us and Walmart, you should never become disappointed. Plus half the price on WWE.com. Remember, that's www.madmaniacs.com.
Madmaniacs.com.
The irresistible Doc Young.
Booyah!
The legendary Les Thatcher.
Brilliant!
The award-winning show taking the internet by storm. Wrestling Weekly.
Oh, great Odin Draven!
Every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 1 a.m. GMT. On WrestlingWeekly.com and WrestlingRadioNetwork.com.
News and information on total non-stop action wrestling. It's TNAWrestling.com. TNAWrestling.com. Log on right now and get your fix of all things TNA Wrestling. Event photos, streaming video, and all of the backstage gossip is just one click away. Plus, right now, you can find special savings in our merchandise area with a complete line of DVDs featuring Nevermore, the best of Raven, Enigma, the best of Jeff Hardy, and Phenomenal, the best of AJ Styles. Plus, all of our monthly pay-per-view events on DVD as well. And don't forget to check out photos of our lovely ladies in the knockout section. It's your online home for total non-stop action wrestling. It's TNAWrestling.com. TNAWrestling.com.
Mic check.
I'm telling you, dog.
Mic check.
That's what I'm saying.
We in here now.
Yeah. Whoa. City. I'm flying.
Doc Young and Les Thatcher with you back here at Wrestling Weekly. On the line right now is our featured guest for tonight. He's got a new DVD out there. It's called Sean Stasiak Determined. So, of course, our guest is Sean Stasiak. Sean, I want to thank you for being on the show tonight.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys. Hey, you know, we started talking about this before we went back on the air. Sean, in watching this DVD, there's so many layers to this and so much that I personally can identify with. I thought one of the things, for those of you listening, Sean takes you on a journey. Basically, he goes back to some of the places of his childhood when he was with his dad. When his dad was wrestling, he goes back to where he went to college, one of the guys he weight trained with, his wrestling coach. And you know, a lot of it is, you made me stop and think about things. You talk about the energy you felt at the old Portland sports arena. You know, I never worked that territory. And then you went to Dallas to the, actually, well, where they had imploded the old Sportatorium there. But, you know, I thought, yeah, there is energy to places like that. And you made me think that I'd like to go back to some of the old places that I worked as a young man, because those ghosts still dwell there, don't they?
They sure do, you know. What I've really come into of my own here is a spiritual awareness. The last 5 years that I've been away from mainstream, you know, wrestling TV. You know, a good friend of mine is Rob Van Dam, and in the film is a segment with him where we talk about the energy and we talk about the laws of attraction and that sort of thing. I've always been a pretty deep philosophical kind of guy, but I really didn't realize how much it grew until I started to just acknowledge, you know, both my parents are deceased, and I just had this amazing relationship with them. You know, now I've also thought, I said, well, maybe, Sean, maybe you're going nuts. Maybe you've taken one too many chair shots or one too many body slams. Are you imagining these things, or are these really happening? And, you know, the truth is that they really are happening. They're as real gets, and it had my attention, and it's just grown from there. And, you know, you talk about energy. There's certain places that people feel an energy. The actual segment when we drove from Boise, Idaho, where I went to undergrad, drove on to Portland, Oregon. I took that trip a year prior to just this past summer when we shot the documentary, and I felt this enormous presence of my father and my mom both, because they both passed in Portland and they loved that place so much. And so I don't know how the spiritual realm works exactly. I don't think we'll ever figure it out, but I do give my my grace, I give my thanks to a higher power, our creator, and I just have this wonderful relationship and stories that I can share. And the beauty of it is I don't have to make them up, because they're real. I just share them with enthusiasm, because I get goosebumps every time I talk about it, you know. And so the Portland Sports Arena, you know, that's pretty much the essence of where my childhood memories began. You know, with the Roddy Pipers, the Playboy Buddy Rose, Billy Jack Haynes, the Rip Olivers, Harley Race, Ric Flair, Andre the Giant, all these people, that's just to name a few, came through that territory. And those were my very beginning memories of professional wrestling, and was probably the seed that was, you know, planted in me from day one. Of course, the business changed. It got to be very theatrical and entertainment, you know, the elements of entertainment. You got to cater and evolve with society's, you know, demands as far as entertainment. But, you know, that's where, you know, it reverts back to those days for me. And the Portland, Sportatorium is also another very significant place for me that I have very fond memories with the Von Erichs, Bruiser Brody, Skandar Akbar, Johnny Mantell. I mean, the list goes on and on. So we talk about energy and places and landmarks and places that I went to just so I could connect. And initially when I first started talking to Howard, my producer and now agent, you know, it was initially going to be one of those typical workout videos and wrestling shoot interviews. And I just said, look, I don't want to be one of these typical, you know, bitter wrestlers pointing fingers. I mean, right. Everybody's got a story. You know, the bottom line is that did I ever get to the pinnacle or even scratch the surface of my potential in professional wrestling? The answer is absolutely not. And most people know that, but I'm very, very grateful and I'm thankful that I had the opportunity to work on the forum. And I give thanks to Vince McMahon and the WWE. Are you still there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, the point is that I give thanks, and I'm not bitter. I might have been at one point, but you go through, you know, I think the problem with a lot of wrestling talent is that they really don't know what else to do in life or really want to do anything else. And for me, as much as my father, Stan the Man, had an influence on me in becoming a professional wrestler, he also had a big impact on me becoming a doctor of chiropractic, because when I was as young as I could remember, of course, him being this big, burly wrestler, and now I understand it now, if I ever have kids, you know, I'd walk on his back and make a little game out of it, and his back would pop, and I'd say, hey, are you okay, Dad? And he's like, Sean, can you keep doing that? I give you a quarter every time you make that sound. So, lo and behold, I didn't realize I was a chiropractor back then. You know, so I went ahead and pursued that other aspiring career, and that's now what I am, a doctor of chiropractic. And in the 5 years that I've been away, I've really had to go through some character building, and it is a very humbling experience, and it still is to this day. But I'm so glad and blessed and grateful that I did get released when I did, because I wouldn't be who I am today if I didn't have this exact trials and tribulations and hard times that I had to go through to become the man that I am today. And you know what? I'm only 37 years old. You know, most people, unless they're lying to me, tell me I look like I'm 30. You know what? I've got a few good years left in me, and I'll tell you, if I ever get a real opportunity or a real business chance to go back to any wrestling promotion, be it WWE or TNA, there's a Sean Stasiak that no one's ever seen before, and it would be something if I had an opportunity to finally exude who I really stand for and who I really am.
You know, I was thinking about that, too, because you spent enough time to have a cup of coffee with me here in Cincinnati. But I remember during that time you telling me about Planet Stasiak. And my thinking was, well, you know, Sean, if he's going to be here with us, then let's do that, you know, and see where it works. But then, of course, you were released. You weren't here but a couple weeks and then gone again. And
It seemed like an eternity. I'm just playing. You know, what's funny is when you go back to times, like I've learned this in life too, is that when you go back, you reflect back on your moments where you thought, oh man, I just want, you know, because at that time I just wanted to get back on the main roster,
right.
And you know, and you kind of, and that's what I've learned, is that you kind of overlook sometimes. You say, well, the, you know, the grass is greener on the other side. Of course, you should always have goals. And have a plan and a vision and do all the necessary things it takes to get to that point, make little goals to get to your ultimate goals. And then once you reach those goals, then you have new goals. I mean, that's just the journey of life. But I wish I could go back in some of the moments that I thought that I wasn't enjoying myself and relive those moments, because those were actually good times. Those were character builders, you know. So I hear what you're saying. The Planet Stasiak thing was an idea that I came up with because wrestling has become so gimmicky. I'm a huge Jim Carrey fan, and this, if you remember the Riddler from Batman, that was kind of the takeoff. I was tired of the narcissist posing and, you know, the everyone look at me, I've got a great body kind of thing. You know, people have done that. That's not really me. I wanted to be more graceful and be, just have my own authentic style. But being away, though, what I realized is that really Sean Stasiak in itself is a gimmick and it is a character. And what I stand for is this, and I just say it like it is that I'm a second-generation wrestler. I'm a world-class athlete that's full of piss and vinegar that just, if he ever happens to be back on the grand stage again, he wants to kick ass. And I reverted back to my roots as far as an amateur wrestler in the Division I level. I'm a huge MMA fan. Randy Couture, he's my idol. You know, as I get older, I start to look, every time I think I'm getting old, I look at him and think, God, you know, I'm still a pup yet, because this guy exemplifies perseverance, determination, and it's just what these people stand for, you know, especially Randy Couture. And I reverted back to my real roots, and that's what Sean Stasiak is today, is would exemplify. You know, most people would remember me as, oh, the guy that had, you know, those goofy gimmicks and this and that, but he had a good body. You know, I always want to be in great shape, and that's just who I am, but I don't want to have to acknowledge a crowd for their approval and pose and do all that. What I am basically is a warrior, is someone that's a real athlete that wants to go out there, win, lose, or draw. You're going to win some, you're going to lose some. But what I stand for is taking a piece of my reality, my life, and that is I've lost both my parents. I'm the only child. I'm not trying to sound like a sap story, but I'm just laying it out like it is, and I've accepted that. And it's been hard, but what I'm saying is that I want to stand for overcoming adversity, never say never, never die attitude, and keep pushing forward, and that's where I am. And, you know, I've got this great storyline idea for WWE that I could actually be the very first father-son duo to ever hold the WWE title. I've got a whole thing laid out where, you know, my father truly did pass away. But, you know, the storyline is this, is that I promised my father before he passed away that I would bring the WWE title back to our family name and link our names in the history books of the very first father-son to ever hold that title. Now, whether that ever happened or not, that's my goal. That's my objective. That's my reason for being in the WWE. Before, I didn't know what meat was. I didn't know what perfection was. You know, I was trying to play these characters that I really didn't feel.
Right.
And you talk to anybody who's ever made it in the professional wrestling business, Stone Cold Steve Austin, The Rocks, guys of that nature, even Triple H, you got to take a piece of your reality, a piece of your personality that's really you, amplify it times 10. But what I found about me is I don't have to do anything gimmicky. Just be myself. Be that aggressive, tenacious, pissed off competitor that wants to make history. And that's something that, you know, I'm a team player, and I'm willing to work with any company. But, man, I've already ran the milk trucks and walls. I've already played the narcissist gimmick. Why not? What happened to real tradition and bringing back some legacy, man? And that's what I'm about, you know. And I just feel that even if it wasn't me looking on the outside, I would look at a situation. It's a very unique and dynamic situation, and there's not too many people around that can actually pull this off. So why not take advantage of it? You know, it's a great opportunity for the company. It's a great opportunity for myself. And all I ever wanted was just support from any wrestling company to know that they really cared and gave me the ball, gave me the support. And I'll tell you what, man, this business is in my blood. I mean, it's inevitable. I'm not going to let you down, man. Give me the ball and watch what happens.
You know what? I feel your passion over this conversation. I really do. And I say to Doc all the time about this business. You know, it needs more reality-based, logical things, because that's what people are buying into.
Right.
You know, the fantasy, I mean, the whole fantasy-induced thing is fine to a certain degree, but, you know, and I think that's where they miss the boat, by slapping people with characters that don't fit their actual personalities. You mentioned Piper and Buddy Rose and all. What were those guys except just larger than life parts of their actual characters, right? I mean, you knew them as persons.
Absolutely.
And you knew them as characters, but Roddy is Roddy, right? I mean,
right.
You talk.
Know, and it's interesting how you say that, Les, because really, you know, you look at today what's popular, what people really want to identify with is real. And even though professional wrestling, I mean, you know, the cat's out of the bag, it is, yeah, we know it's choreographed, and we know, but, you know, I've said it a million times before, I don't care if you're a professional athlete from a previous sport or you're an Olympic gold medalist, you know, unless you're Kurt Angle, a lot of people don't make it. You have to have a plethora of talents. It takes a very unique individual to be a successful, professional wrestler.
Right.
It's an industry that's in a context of its own. For me, I'm still a fan of the old school stuff in the 70s and 80s. It was slower, but it told a story. It meant it when people did something, it meant something. Nowadays, you've got people going 90 miles. You know, people kick out of 30 finishes. I just don't, you know, I don't really get that. For me, you know, I mean, it's just taking a piece of my personality and exemplifying it times 10. When I do some of these smaller shows, these independent shows, I feel like my work is better than ever, because I feel like I have a focus and a direction now. I don't have to try to be someone I'm not. And maybe my matches, like even in this film, you know, of course I would pick it up if it was WWE or, you know, I believe I could conform to any style, you know, or pace. But I'm just trying to tell a story, and for me, I just feel more focused in the ring and who my sense of belonging and who I am. And that was a big part of it for me in the past, you know. So I don't know. I hear what you're saying, but everybody likes reality. You look at what's popular today. It's reality TV shows. It's
right.
The UFC, Ultimate Fighting. Everyone knows it's not. No one's holding punches there. No one's pulling punches.
Right.
You know, professional wrestling is in its own context, so I'm by no means am I disrespecting our industry. But if you're going to, you got to have your elements of entertainment, sure. You got to have your glitz and glamour. You got to have your, you know, you got to keep all that. But I just believe that fans want to take someone's a piece of a real life story. And I just believe I have a, you know, not just me, but there's people that have some really unique stories to tell. Why not exude that by sending a message and representing that idea on TV, you know? And so for me, it is overcoming adversity. It is trying to make that history. If I were to go back to the WWE, and you can bet your ass that if I ever had an opportunity and knew the company was behind me, I'm going to put everything I have into this because I'm getting old. Hey, not getting younger, and there's a certain window here. And I figure I got about 3 or 4, maybe 5 good years left to really, you know, I don't want to waste my time, and I don't want to waste the company's time. I've been there, I've done that.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to do business, let's just do real business and do something that has merit and direction and focus, and that can send a positive message, you know, something that you stand for and something that people can look at and follow and say, wow, you know, I could identify with that in my life, and I'd like to apply that perseverance and that determination in my life to accomplish some of the goals that I'd like to become or do in my life. So that's kind of my perspective on professional wrestling today and where I would stand in it now.
You know, something I want to touch on about the DVD that I'm totally aware of because I have been a competitive bodybuilder at the master's level and have trained bodybuilders is the fact that a good nutritional program, a good weight training program adds so much to the rest of your life, no matter if you're an athlete or you're a doctor or an insurance salesman. And I think, you know, in watching this too, and I think, you know, I'm 67 now. I just turned 67 a little over a week ago. But I remember that when I would get in contest shape, I carried myself differently. I felt more confident, you know.
Absolutely.
And you were mentioning how, you know, when you can take your frustrations out on the iron opposed to taking it out on your wife or or the walls or something else. And I'm in total agreeance of that. And I think if people buy this DVD just for the entertainment value, that if they will take the time to listen to your, you know, your pitch about, you know, good mental health and everything coming from the weight program and the nutrition. I mean, that's so valuable to them, too. It's not just an entertaining DVD, but I think very constructional, you know, and educational in that respect.
Well, I appreciate that, and you know, you're right, because really, you know, and I've gotten to a whole different industry now, you know, but professional wrestling, amateur wrestling, being a fitness enthusiast, everything that I've done in my life, be it a chiropractor, pro wrestler, amateur wrestler, all the things I've done, weekend warrior, all revolves around one thing, and that is the health and fitness industry. And really, doing this documentary was really a blessing in disguise, because what happened was it evolved. Howard and I started talking. We were initially just going to do, like I said, just the wrestling interview and do the workout routine. But then as we started talking, he got to know my personality. He got to know the real Sean. He got to understand that there's a lot of diversity in substance that I had to my life. And, you know, for me, I'll just go ahead and admit this. You know, I mean, I looked at I was never the WWE champion. I wasn't the NCAA champion. I was competitive, and I did very, very well in especially with my amateur wrestling career. But my point is that I never really saw the cup as half full as opposed to half empty, I think. And by shooting this film, then when I watched it back, when he edited it and put it together, it was like a mere reflection of my life. And I said, well, geez, man, you know, I'm a doctor of chiropractic now. I've been a professional wrestler, and I still do some, you know, occasional shows from time to time. You know, I'm a fitness enthusiast. I'm still banging the weights around. I think I'm in probably, you know, better shape than I've ever been in a lot of ways as far as being healthier and a little bit lighter and just feeling, you know, just more in tune with my body. And I think part of the problem going to a medical program is that you learn a lot of information, but I think you become a little bit of a hypochondriac because you're always diagnosing yourself. Like, that's the whole matter. I take a hip toss or I take a drive. Oh, God, here goes my sacrum. Oh, there goes this. I'm diagnosing myself in my mind going, this sucks. You know?
You overanalyze everything, right?
Yeah, it's like Clark Kent and Superman, you know. But
yeah.
But the point is, though, that I'm getting at is that I've really found a passion now, a newfound passion of I really want to be a motivational speaker. And I've already started. And my main message, guys, is basically – And whether I ever make it back to the professional wrestling form or not, time will tell, and that's, I'm going to leave that up to God. You know, I'm my life is going to go on and continue just like it has, whether I ever become the WWE champion or I don't, okay? But it has a nice ring to it, though, doesn't it?
Yeah, it sure does.
But the point that I'm making is that my message is pretty, you know, not to be too generic, but it is how I've used physical fitness as a means to manifest positivity, not just in my body physiologically or physically, but how I connect spiritually and mentally. It's like that triad, mind, body, and soul. And when you can get in synchronicity, when you get, you know, people say, well, you know, be giving, be caring for others, but you can't give to anybody else until your cup is full and it's spilling over with abundance. And my whole theory is that people always make excuses like, oh, I've got four kids, oh, I've got two jobs, I got this and that, I work 18 hours, whatever. The point is you have to prioritize things in your time. Time management is so important. I still need better time management. You know, there's not enough time of the day, it seems like. But the train leaves with or without you. My point is that your body does not care what your life is around it. It's going to respond on how you treat it. And you have, as much as it's important to pay your mortgage or to go to work or pack your kids' lunch or take them to school or whatever, it's just as important, if not more important, to find that sanctuary for yourself, to get away from everybody else. And, you know, when I'm up there pumping up on, you know, pumping up weights, or I'm doing cardio and I'm sweating and huffing and puffing, I'm pushing myself, it's a physical thing, sure. But I've got my iPod on. I'm listening to music that brings out the good emotions in me. I'm visualizing. I'm meditating. I'm really connecting on a spiritual level. And it might sound too deep for some people, like, oh, Sean, whatever, shut up, man, just work out. But you know what? That, to me, is an ignorant attitude. You have to look at the big picture. We're only here so long, man. We're on borrowed time. And so I'm really defining my purpose and starting to come to me more and more. And I realize that one of my biggest assets is, you know, it's one thing to entertain millions of fans. I mean, I'm an entertainer by heart. That's just who I am, and I always will be. Mm-hmm. But I really want to do something that I know that I can make the change in the people's lives mentally, physically, and spiritually. And what a beautiful way it is to be able to do it as a doctor of chiropractic through my hands, but also to be on stage and to be able to direct a message about physical fitness and bring up the statistics and facts that we live in we're at the highest epidemic for obesity, diabetes, and depression, and they all go hand in hand because of our fast-paced society. People are so rush here, rush there, pay that bill, pay this bill. It's a crazy society, and we have to revert back to our temple, our vehicle that God gave us. And when you start to make those bodily changes, whether you want to put on some lean muscle or you want to lose weight, most people want to lose weight. They want to trim up, you know. But your face starts looking better. Your skin looks better. The contours of your body change. Your clothes fit differently. People notice these things, and you exude an energy that's positive. And when you see the changes you've made in your life, now you feel like you've got that control. Now that will manifest into other aspects of your life, be it careers, family, relationships, marriages, your kids, new goals, new hobbies, new visions, whatever it may be. But it all starts with you, and it starts with your vehicle. And that's pretty much my message. I'm developing it now, and my goal is by the beginning of the new year of 2008, I'm going to be taking speaking engagements, and I want to speak at schools and corporations, and I want to really infiltrate my insight and my message. And to me, that's my newfound passion, is to entertainment's one thing, but for me, it's knowing that I truly made a difference in someone's life. That means so much more to me.
I think that's great. I think
excellent.
And like I say, I think that anybody that gets this DVD will not only just be entertained by it, but should, you know, I derived a message from it. You know, I mean, I really did. And I'll tell you real quickly, I know we're about to run out of time. Our daughter lives down in Charlotte, and one of the first big angles I was ever involved in was the old Charlotte Coliseum. And this DVD got me thinking that when we're down there, I always drive by that Coliseum, and I think, and I got to think, well, what pulls me here? And I realized it's part like you going back to the Portland, you know, the sports arena. And I'm thinking, the next time I see the doors of that place open, I want to go in, and I just want to try to feel what you felt when you went back to Portland.
It was amazing when I was there, you know, and even though the cameras were on, sometimes it's a distraction that prevents you from just being able to just feel, you know, around
sure.
you. But I was just like, you know, it was a church. It was completely a different, you know, it was the same place, but it was so different. And God, yeah, it's just like, wow. You know, for me, it's almost strange because Sandy Barr, my father, and my mom, they've passed on, and I go back to this place, and it feels so much like a familiar place. Even the air smells differently, the trees. I mean, it's just a different regime, you know. It's a different region. It's a different territory, and it's just the atmosphere is different, but it rang a bell. It's like, wow, I've been here before, you know, but yet it's like you're so close, but you're so far away because it's just a distant memory now. Like, you know, never, ever, ever there will be Andre the Giant or Roddy Piper, any of those people walking through and roaming the hallways and the dressing room and to the ring and back and to the crow's nest and going to see Don Owen to get paid at the end of the night. That will never be there anymore. It's all a memory. You feel an energy, but then you can be saddened by it because it's just a distant memory now. But for me, I really am learning how to take the energy and the memory and the spirit and being able to live forever. You know, and that will always be the Portland Sports Arena to me, whether I ever go back there or not. But it was really, it's just an honor. It was a blessing to have the opportunity to do this project. I was just so happy and pleased that I was able to do it. And if anything, as much as, you know, I'm sharing my stories and people that watch this film, if they can gather anything from it and use it for their life, then that's awesome. But for me, it actually was it was therapeutic for me too, because I'm not out of the woods in life. I'm still on this journey too. I'm just taking anybody that views it into my life and just taking them on the journey and sharing it with them. And it's as genuine and as real as I can get, you know.
All right. Sean, this interview has gone by so fast. We really didn't even have time to get into your career or anything like that.
Can you come back and join us again
next week? Next week.
Oh, absolutely, guys. Just let me know. Just call me up, you know.
Let's pick this up next week. We'll get to some questions from the chat room and things like that and talk more about your career in this DVD. We'll talk about it off the air, and we'll see if we can't get you back on next week to finish this.
It did go pretty fast.
It did. It really just zoomed. But this is really good stuff. So I want to get some more out of this next week.
But let's before we get off here, let's say, you know, if you get a chance to pick up this DVD,
right,
do so by. Do you have a website, Sean, real quick before we go?
You know, I'm actually having one built right now, but I'll go ahead and just get some information. If you want to order the DVD, go to www.muscular, like, you know, most muscular, but musculargalore.com. It's spelled musculargalore.com. So musculargalore.com. And I'm actually having a website built as we speak. It probably won't be up and running for another couple of weeks, but when it is up and running, just check periodically in the next couple of weeks. It'll be www.seanstasiak.com. Pretty simple to remember. And right now, though, I do have a MySpace page. If you go to, you know, myspace.com/ Sean Stasiak, SHAWNSTASIAK. And, you know, I pretty much have some pictures I've got on there and some insight. And, you know, I'm
excellent.
Every day it seems like I got more and more requests for, you know, gaining more friends. So,
good.
Great.
Building that up.
Check out those website guys. Hopefully next week we'll speak with Sean a little bit more. And we've also got former WWE superstar Daivari is going to be with us next week, too. So check it out, guys. WrestlingWeekly.com for all your news every day. Les, we're out of here.
All right. We'll see you all next week.
Enjoy it, guys.